As Secretary Rumsfeld rallied the troops in Iraq, politicians here in the U.S. were busy, too. For insights into the week's big political news, we turn to NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams. He joins us every Friday. And Juan, I guess the big political news this weekend comes from the Democrats. They're about to get a new chairman, and it looks like it's going to be Howard Dean.
That's right, Madeline, the 56-year-old former Vermont governor, famous for his scream back in the Iowa caucus after he had lost that race to John Kerry and John Edwards, is set to be the next chairman of the Democratic Party. And the big difference here between Terry McAuliffe, who is his successor, his predecessor, I should say, and the successor, Howard Dean, is that Dean promises to invest a lot of money in organizing at the state level. He's promised the state chairman at least $11 million a year to pay for organizing and activities on the state level. So this is really, I think, a continuation in some ways of Dean's campaign to appeal to the grassroots. And you can imagine with that will come an emphasis on fundraising. But Howard Dean is not the choice of someone like a Bill Clinton or a Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, was the top pick in some of the polls as the leading contender for the 2008 nomination. So what you're seeing is that this is a different axis of power emerging in the Democrats, among the Democrats. And for the moment, Democrats like Howard Dean. Republicans are really, you know, sort of salivating, saying, oh my gosh, Howard Dean, that wild man. 2-1, according to a recent poll, done this week by USA Today and Gallup. 2-1, Republicans have an unfavorable view of Dean. But Democrats have a 43% favorable view, only 24% unfavorable. So you see that for Democrats, they applaud this choice, and it's not as controversial among Democrats as it is to the nation at large.
And on the other side, in the Republican side, President Bush's senior political advisor, Karl Rove, was appointed deputy chief of staff in charge of policy at the White House. Is that just making formal the power that Rove already wielded in the White House? What does it mean politically and for policy?
Well, I think it goes beyond what Rove was doing before. I think he's being rewarded, as President Bush said. He was the architect of the 2004 victory. What you're seeing now, I think, is a consolidation of power. Rove consolidating his power so that no one can say that his portfolio does not include foreign policy. And secondly, Vice President Cheney consolidating his power. You know, the National Security Council, which had been under Condoleezza Rice, is now going on to be Secretary of State, is really, Steve Hadley is really a Cheney-trained individual, and so much more in line with what Cheney wants to do. So Cheney's consolidating his power. Rove is now expanding and consolidating his power as deputy chief of staff under Andy Card. And you're going to see, whereas in the first term you had Secretary of State Colin Powell, Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, and Vice President Cheney all kind of colliding and demanding the president's attention and trying to set the agenda, I think now you're going to have Karl Rove and Vice President Cheney as the two major power players in the White House, with the key point being legacy and policy, because there are no more elections. So both of them are going to try to have a voice in determining how the president's legacy is laid out and what policy initiatives are promoted and how they are guided on Capitol Hill to gain enough support from Republicans and Democrats to achieve passage.
Juan Williams is a senior correspondent for NPR, and he joins us every Friday to talk about politics, give us the inside scoop. And you did that today. Thanks a lot, Juan.
You're welcome, Madeline.